Welcome to The Missing Link, Connection After 50. I'm Pam, your coffee-loving guide through the wonders and challenges of life post 50.
And I'm Karen, with a cup of tea in hand, here to spill the tea. Together, we're your companions in this second chapter of life.
Looking for heartfelt conversations and a dash of laughter? You're in the right spot. We're here to celebrate the ups, navigate the downs, and embrace everything in between.
So grab your drink of choice and join us for a dose of sisterhood and stories that connect us all. Let's dive in. Hi, my friend. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? Well, I wasn't feeling well today, but I feel better now as I took some Motrin and Tylenol.
Wow. I wasn't feeling good either. What was your issue?
Malaise.
And just malaise.
Yeah. And just like some stomach stuff. A little bit, which seems to be going around at work right now. So Sophie feels malaise as well. We just both felt kind of lazy.
It's like blahs.
And it's beautiful outside. So I know that when I don't feel well.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go out and walk or whatever. That's definitely a sign my body's saying just rest. So I'm giving myself permission. But I did break down and take Motrin and Tylenol because I was at work and I'm like, I've got to get stuff done, you know? So I definitely had to take a little bit. It definitely helped a little bit, but I think my body just needs to get a good night's sleep and just rest a little bit tonight.
Yep.
So
I was having a migraine for the last, I got to take that back. Not a migraine, a headache. Cause I do get migraines and that's a different thing. I had a headache, but I had it for several days and it wouldn't go away. And I don't take Motrin and stuff like that. So I was just kind of dealing with it. But my thing is I never have caffeine. I only do herbal or organic decaf tea. And so when I have a headache, that's when I push the caffeine because it can help. And so that's what I did. I did a bunch of caffeine today and now I feel better.
Oh, good. Yeah. I love caffeine. Yeah. I definitely drink a lot of caffeine. Yeah, I had a weird winter with, speaking of headaches, like this is the first winter that my nose didn't run incessantly during the cold weather. And instead I had headaches and pain and pressure on the bridge of my nose. It was the first time like in my whole life that it took a shift. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because I'm wearing glasses more often now and the glasses are sitting on my bridge of my nose and maybe irritating it. But yeah, it always runs every single winter. I have to carry around a box of Kleenex in my coat pocket. And this winter, it didn't. So it's really strange.
So let me ask you a question as a fellow glasses wearer. Now I wear my glasses when I need to see something far away. So that's why I don't have them on right now. But so for driving and for distance. So when you wear your glasses, do you typically get it's like an indent here in the nose bridge area, or do I just have ill-fitting glasses?
I'm a bad person to ask because it didn't even occur to me that that would be a thing when I ordered my first ever prescription bifocals. I did ask somebody about it and they said, yeah, it looked like it was too narrow for my bridge. Yeah. So these cheap little readers that I got on Amazon, they have a wider thing. Mm-hmm. So they don't hurt it as much as like my prescription ones.
Yeah.
So I recommend just trying a couple like cheap ones off of Amazon before you invest in something expensive, because that was my mistake, is just getting this like cool pair of glasses that I thought looked pretty, but they're not very comfortable. Kind of like a bad
pair. I like my glasses, but they're not. I mean, I don't feel it when I'm wearing them. And then I take
them off,
I have this thing.
I mean, that's like,
she clearly wears glasses, but she's not wearing them right now. It's like a clear mark.
Oh, that's funny. No, wow. No, weird, that doesn't happen to me. And you have the exact opposite deal with your vision than I do, because I have to wear these to see you. I mean, if I take them off, you're very blurry.
Yeah.
But distance-wise, I'm perfectly fine.
We have the opposite problem.
Yeah. You're like Pierre, because Pierre has to wear, he has to wear glasses for everything. So I feel kind of bad.
Oh, the joys of getting older. Did you start wearing your glasses when you got older? Was that something that happened after 50?
Yeah. In fact, it was book club. I was reading a book for book club. I was in my 40s and I was like, these words are starting to get blurry. Yeah. And that's when I realized I had to start with readers. And I started with like a 1.5 magnification and now I'm up to a 2.5.
Gotcha.
So, and I think they're getting worse. They're definitely, yeah. I used to be able to take them off and see people.
Yeah.
But now it's like you and I are completely blurry.
Right.
So
right,
they're getting
right.
worse.
When she takes them off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. I don't know what I'm going to do when that happens to me, because I've had, since I was in seventh grade, I've had glasses that I wear to see things that are far away. So what do you do when you can't see far away and you can't see up close? I don't know what people do. I'm gonna find that out.
That's what Pierre does. So you can ask him if you want.
I think it's
bifocals is what it is.
Yeah. And you know, anybody who's listening today might want a little bit of a sneak peek that we're actually going to get to talk to your husband very quickly, not on this episode, but in an upcoming episode. So I can ask him that question.
Yeah. And I love the topic that he is going to bring to us.
It's
going to
be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
that's
going to
be a good one. Yeah.
And I have such exciting news. My microphone is finally working and situated correctly. Thanks
you
to my
sound
son.
Great.
Does it sound good?
Yeah.
Thanks to my son, Andrew, who was here this weekend. And he
fixed it.
He listened to one of our podcasts. I asked him to listen to the mother-in-law one because he's dating somebody. And they're very serious. And his one criticism to me was that I sounded very muffled. And so he came in here and he fixed it for me and told me what I was doing wrong.
That's so great.
And I think it's such a perfect segue into what our topic is today, because I thought it would be fun to talk about the challenges of technology for women in their 50s. So, but I thought
we're
I would
not really used to technology, are we?
No.
You know, like I remember being in high school taking the typing class, like the obligatory, everybody has to take typing. And I remember at some point computers came along and everybody in higher education knew that they were important, but they didn't really know how they would be important because there was no internet, right? And so I don't know if you did this in school, but we learned like the ones and zero, like the whole binary system. We learned the behind the scenes coding. I mean, it's nothing that anybody would ever use today. So technology is like for people our age and older, it's a relatively new era. Right? We didn't have these things growing up.
Completely. And do you even remember? I kind of made a list of all the technology that as it got introduced to me in my world.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember your very first phone? What kind of phone it was?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally do. Because my kids and I talk about it. Because I remember at one point giving them an old rotary phone and saying to them, how would you make a call with this? And them having no clue that you would have to stick your finger in and rotate. In fact, I was just talking with Liam, my youngest, about this the other day, and he said, that is so crazy. Why would they not just push a button? Why would they make you do the dial? But I remember my grandmother talking about the party line, which was, did your grandmother have something like this? It's called a party line. This is the phone. It was a party line. And so everybody on your block shared the phone. So you would pick the phone up and you would see, is my neighbor talking on the phone? If they're not, then I can make a call. But if my neighbor's on, then I have to wait. And so what would happen a lot of the times is that neighbors would listen to each other's calls, just like, you know, busybodies. And then they would know this is what's going on in each other's lives by eavesdropping on their phone calls. But that was the first type of telephone that I can remember hearing about, was the party line.
I'm so glad you started with telephones, because even though I made a list of things like in sequential order, you've made me think of the whole reason why I wanted to do this topic tonight. And I will tell you, it comes down to texting and computers and the way my husband and my kids can be when I'm around and wanting conversation. I can remember growing up, my dad and my brothers, if they were in the house and we weren't eating dinner, we had the TV on and there was either a sports news or like a funny sitcom like Happy Days. And so you always knew what that person, like it was such a togetherness because you always knew what people were doing.
Yeah.
There was no mystery, right? There was nothing I wonder what they're doing. If you had the newspaper out, you could just see the newspaper, right?
Yeah.
Well, now you walk around my house and someone's on their device and I have no idea what they're doing, especially my husband. I have no idea what he's doing.
That's so
and
true.
Yeah. And so it created this, like, I don't even want to call it, it's not like anxiety. It's just like a curiosity. Like, it makes me nosy. Like, huh, I wonder what he's always doing over there on his computer. Who is he talking to? Or what's he doing? Or what's he doing in a bathroom with his phone? You know, like, just like that. But, like, I didn't. And the reason why I think it's difficult for me, I've told my husband this, is because I didn't grow up that way. I grew up always knowing what my parents were talking about, what my dad was doing.
Yeah.
And there were no mysteries, kind of like you were saying with your grandmother.
That's so true.
That's probably the other extreme, what your grandmother
is. Do you remember when you were dating age and you would want to talk to somebody, you'd have to find the phone that was maybe in a quietish place, or you would have to take the phone and stretch the cord and go somewhere, and you would yell, like, you and I both have siblings, and so we'd have to be, oh, I'm on the phone, don't bother me, you know. And when people would actually have to make a phone call to make a date, hello, this is so and so, may I please speak to Karen? You don't have to do that anymore. Like, you're right. There was no privacy. Everybody knew. Like, my brothers would make fun of me when a guy would call the house, because they would know, because they had to call the house. Nowadays, nobody has to do that anymore.
Well, and it's interesting that you're calling it privacy, because I think you could look at it from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, the cube on the wall where if you blink, it will move. I see this same exact scenario. And yes, you don't have the privacy. We didn't have the privacy, but then I also see it in women our age. They have to be kind of wondering what in the heck their kids and their husbands are doing on their devices, right? Like,
sure,
maybe a healthy and natural curiosity, some of us, and then the rest maybe like almost to the point of like, oh my God, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, it does create this like mystery in a way. What do you think about that? Has that ever happened to you?
I think you're right, but I think it goes both ways. I don't think it's the wife or the woman in the relationship thinking about what are all the guys doing or what are my daughter doing. I think everybody's thinking that about everybody. I will often see my kids with their AirPods in, and they've got the phone and they're cooking something, and I'll just look over like, what are they watching?
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's doing their separate thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
exactly.
Bizarre.
And it's become me now too, because I started listening to podcasts. I do have my podcasts on more often than I used to. And my husband will be like, what are you listening to? You know?
Yeah.
And he never used to ask me anything. So now he's got like that little curiosity has been driven in him as well. So it's really kind of funny, but I think in a way it gave him a little bit of, not even empathy. That's not the right word. It kind of made him realize, like, when I would always like, you know, enough screen time, please. You know, what the heck are you doing on there?
Yeah,
right. I think it sort of made him a little bit more understanding of maybe what I was going through with that. Not that I've ever tried to like keep anything a secret, or he has either. It isn't like that at all. It's not meant to be like a, I need privacy, get out of here. It's more just because we grew up hearing everything. We grew up with no privacy. And we got used to that. Our minds and our curiosity got used to that. And now it's like the exact opposite.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's the exact opposite, which for our kids' generation is very normal. But for our generation having to go through this change, it's kind of weird. Like, we see both sides of it, where our kids probably don't see that at all.
And I want to say that there's also some wonderful things about technology right now that are along the lines of maybe no privacy. You've heard of 360, right?
And Life people 360, sharing their, like,
yeah, on, Life 360.
Yeah, 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 we have
and
that.
And then sharing your location and things like that.
Yeah, we have that.
So two of our kids are more than happy to be on 360. They don't care at all. And they like to see what we're doing. And two of our other kids felt like it was an invasion of privacy. And I come from the camp of, well, if you've got nothing to hide, why do you care? Kind of like cameras. Right. I'm not really worried about cameras for security, because like our neighbors have these like really major cameras, and I consider them a safety thing for the neighborhood. But my husband thinks they're very obnoxious and an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, why do we care? You know, I'm not
Yeah.
walking
Oh,
around
so
naked.
interesting.
You know what I
So
mean? So
interesting.
yeah, everybody
Yeah.
has a different take on it, I think.
Yeah, I do remember our kids. Everybody has mellowed to Life360 now, but I do remember a time when it was an issue and the kids kind of rebelled against it. And when my older two went away to college, they just turned it off. And I felt like, well, they're 18 and I'm not going to push it. Do you know what I mean? Like they're adults now. And even though I like to, especially when they first went to college, I would every so often just pull it up, like, oh, you know, it just made me feel closer to them. Somehow they came back around and now everybody's back on Life360. And it's like, you know, where is so and so around? Sometimes I'll even say, is so and so at home? Let me look.
I know.
Life360. So I like having it, and everybody's now come around to liking it. You know who the biggest problem on Life360 is? It's my dad.
Oh,
We
yeah.
put it on his phone and he continually turns it off. And I think sometimes he's turning it off because he doesn't want us to know where he's going.
Because
Isn't
he's
that so
at
funny?
some wild and crazy places, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. 87 years
Well,
old going to those wild places. But yeah, it's really funny that, yeah, people who are younger probably are more used to that, where people who are older who aren't used to being tracked, maybe it's a little weird for them.
and the benefit is if you ever lose your phone, you know,
Exactly.
you can locate it. I do think I do remember that happened to us once where we were looking for one of the phones. I really think
Yes,
like one
us
day too.
too.
So I think it's great. Sophie, one time, since he and I, we were going to pick up the RV somewhere, and Sophie was at school and she sent us a text, "Where are you guys? What are you doing?" So, you
Right,
know, it's kind
yeah,
of cute. She
right.
and Adam both like to have that reciprocity with knowing each other's locations. Now
Yeah.
Samuel and Andrew have both told me that they don't mind if we get them in on our 360 link. And I was like, well, but they're both with very serious girlfriends now. And Samuel's at med school. I mean, I don't know if I really care
I think
to
at
do that.
some point you have to let that go, right? I mean, maybe while they're at college, but when they graduate from college, it's probably time to just cut the cord on that. We were actually just talking about that with Dylan because he has the last phone that we purchased for him, and his next phone he's going to purchase on his own. So it wouldn't be very appropriate for us to follow him on a phone that we pay nothing. You know what I mean? It just seems a little bit intrusive once they're like full-fledged adults and living on their own. I'm fine with them just saying, I don't want to do that
I
anymore.
agree. Because it
Yeah.
does sometimes take the place of communication where instead of asking someone, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you
True.
going?"
Yeah.
you're just looking at their 360 to see where they are.
That's
But,
so true.
you
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
so your first phone was like your first cell phone was what? Was
It
it a
was
flip
a,
phone or a
oh,
smartphone or?
my first phone was when we were living in England. That's what I, well, no, I think I had one before then. It was one of those big chunky phones. You know, the big ones when they first came out. It wasn't so big that it was like they used to be when they first came out. They were like yay big. Like I'm talking like a foot. You can see it in old movies, which is really funny. I can picture it. It's gray and it's just really chunky. And you would only use it for emergencies because, of course, there's no texting on it. There was no internet on it. It was just something that you would say, I want to have this in my car just in case of an emergency. And I would say that was probably the early 2000s. But I
Was it a
do
track
remember,
phone? Was it
well,
a, is it called a track phone?
I don't think it was called a track phone. It was a Motorola of some kind, whatever it was. But yeah, I really never used it because it was just something that I used for emergencies. Even
I
in
would
England,
agree.
so picture us all in England. I had a cell phone, but I don't really feel like I used it. I don't remember ever calling you. So listener, this is 20 years ago. I don't remember calling you on a cell phone.
No, I don't remember having a cell phone until we got back to America.
Yeah.
I really don't
We still
remember.
had the answering machine. We would still call each other on a landline. It wasn't until we got back to America that we're talking like 2007, 2005, seven, something around there, that people really started using phones more. And it wasn't until people started texting and the smartphone came out that everything just exploded.
And I can remember. So I don't know, even when I, let's see, I remember my neighbor across the street, She probably had a smartphone because whenever I was around her, she was texting. And I remember thinking, "Ooh, I don't ever want to be like that.
Oh
I
my
want to
gosh,
be
me
this
too.
person." You know, because I'm thinking like she wasn't present. She just was always like a teenager on her phone, even though I didn't see many teenagers at that time. I guess she was just advanced. But
Some
I
people
remember
are
just
those early adopters. Yeah, she was just one of those people.
So yeah, that was my memory of the phone. And then so what about before phones though? What was your very first interview after you said after school you did or during school you were doing like a what was that class called that you took?
I don't
Or
know.
was you I know I did typing in high school too, but
Oh, the
my
typing class.
okay.
Oh, and then there was a computer class, and that was just part of the regular school day. You had to take a computer class. I remember that in maybe middle school. And I remember in elementary school, our school had one computer in the library.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you know what? You're making me think. When I was a school teacher, and this was in San Antonio, I think I might have had a really advanced principal because he forced us to do our grades on something called Gradebook Online, and everything was electronic there. It like averaged everything. We had to have like 24 grades a semester per subject, and it helped with that. I could print little reports. I had to use Excel for my
Wow,
lesson plans.
Excel. Wow. Okay.
And my students had a computer in the room where we did, it was called Accelerated Reader, and we would go to the computer lab once a week, and they would each get to have 30 minutes on the computer. I have a feeling it's completely different now and way more
Oh,
advanced than
yeah.
that.
And I think even some schools, everybody gets a laptop. The school will actually
Yeah, they have like
distribute
the smart pads
laptops.
or the laptops. Yeah, exactly.
My son is required in middle school, he's required to have a computer.
Okay, that the school provides or you guys
Nope,
provide?
we had to provide it.
Okay. Well, he's in private school,
He's
right?
in private school, but
Okay.
in public school, I think they will actually give you.
They do. Yeah, because our kids all went to public high school and they all had some type of I don't know, it was like a really small little computer. And I remember we had to put a deposit on it because it was like it was borrowed. It wasn't
Oh,
given to
right. Because
us.
if you lost it, then you would get in trouble.
So that was, and then when did email start? Do you remember? I was trying to remember when email started.
I remember being in graduate school. So that would be the mid-1990s and having to do a little bit of emailing. Like emailing a paper or something like that. You would have, nobody had, like, even when I was in graduate school, so that's mid-90s, you didn't have a computer at your house. You would still have to go to the computer lab, type your paper there, and then you could email it to the professor. And I remember being in England, so that would be in the early 2000s, emailing back home, but it was the right, the dial-up. That's what it was when we were in England. So I do remember emailing then as well. So early 2000s emailing, but it was all dial-up.
And we in England, when you and I were doing the president and vice presidents of the medical auxiliary group, we did our newsletter. What did we do our newsletter on? Do you remember
That's a great, how did we get that
was it a
printed?
Word document or
Wow, I don't
I don't
know. I
even
don't
remember.
remember.
Yeah, it
I
was
don't remember how we did that.
no, but it was we were very savvy, right? We did these newsletters and then we had them printed and I think we emailed them to people because I don't remember going to the printing place. Do you?
I have a bunch of them printed out. So somehow
Okay.
I got them.
Because that was my very first thing when I
Interesting.
first got there. Remember, I was a newsletter editor,
That's right.
and you were the vice president that
At
year,
that time, I think I may be was the recording secretary.
maybe? Okay. So we were kind of at the beginning of like something kind of cool there as well,
Oh
right?
yeah, that was another huge thing. Yeah, I kind of think we did some of the things on the computer. I think we did.
We did, and I know, you know, because our audience is women 50 and older, and I know I've worked with many women who are in their 40s and 50s, and one of the things that we have, like, we've been talking about all the cool things about them, but working in an office, just the amount of annoying things that we have to do in an office, like if the printer breaks down, I can remember the copy machine breaking down in the teacher's lounge, and it was so easy to fix. There was like these little things right there. I had to open and close, pull out the paper.
Yeah.
And now everything in the offices is so much more complicated. And it just, even though I feel like I'm like sort of savvy because I'm learning it myself, it's still, there's still so many things that feel foreign to me.
Yeah.
To the point where I just say to myself, cause like, I don't know, to get into my workday just to sign in, it's called Paycom. It takes like 5 minutes to sign into Paycom. To get into all the applications that I'm supposed to use at work, it takes another 5 or 6 minutes. And then throughout the day, because of the security, I have to sign in again on each application.
Wow.
And now there's these little things that come up on the screen that say, which of these pictures has wings on it? Which of these?
Oh, yes.
You know, and all I could think about is I'm so happy that these guys or nerds in Silicon Valley are staying relevant, because if it wasn't for technology, none of them would have jobs anymore, but they keep coming up with more and more and more.
Yeah, it's so true.
And it can be very annoying, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, pretty soon we're going to have to be in virtual reality with people.
True.
Right? You know, like my avatar and your avatar are going to have to talk to do business with each other. You know, it just keeps, it's like the person, like from what you were talking about earlier, where everybody knew your business, to now you're talking about all these passwords that you need and all the technology you're using at work. The people just go like this. And if you could see me, listener, you would see that my hands are moving farther and farther and farther apart. People and the connection that people have is just getting moved farther and farther apart as our technology is getting closer and closer and closer.
Yeah. In fact, I used to worry that one of my boys would end up wanting to marry an AI.
Yeah. And well, apparently that's possible to have an AI partner.
I mean, apparently it is. It's probably out there way more than we realize. And one of these days it'll be considered normal, you know?
So weird. Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I get on my soapbox about it, but that human connection is just missing for so many reasons.
I know. And you had talked before about you know, as it pertains to us women in our 40s and 50s, what we're going through with it as compared to how when we were children, but our kids are so used to it that that is the norm for them. Right?
Oh, yeah. Bill talks about all the time how he thinks it's the worst thing that ever happened to this generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as parents, I'm sure you guys have done a lot of things though to remedy that, to do your best, right?
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about our family. We have 2 children that are 17 months apart, and then we have an 8-year gap, and then we have a little one. And so unlike a lot of people with parenting, we get a do-over. And so we have learned a lot from a lot of mistakes we've made with our older two. And I think our younger one gets the benefit of those mistakes. And so when my kids were middle school and then going into high school, and they're not that, my older ones, they're not that different in age than yours. They were getting into social media, and it was also very new that we said, sure, that sounds great. Connect with your friends, you know, not knowing all of the downsides of it. And now with time, with research, with study, with seeing what's happening with these kids 10, 15 years later, now we're seeing that there really are some damaging problems with, so social media, especially, you know, internet technology in general, but social media especially. So we're doing a redo, and Liam doesn't have any of that.
I think that's wise. I do remember we had these little things that we could subscribe to that you could go on and block out certain things.
Oh, we did that too. Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Do you remember what it's called?
Oh, we had so many. Circle is one of the ones we had. Not a single one worked. And we had some of the best ones on the market. We paid a ton of money for it. They always found a workaround. They always did. They never worked. So,
you know, and then where do you draw the line again with our kids with, you know, I don't know, giving them free will and letting them understand, but yet also not exposing them too soon to things like porn. So I don't know. I would really, really rather err on the side of protecting them. more.
Yeah. I mean, part of me and my kids had an experience where they were innocent for as long as I could possibly keep them innocent. Because I think that once you lose that, there's like a chink in your armor that you can never get back. And so I always wanted them to have this, carefree freedom for as long as they could. But I don't know if that's the right way. Some people will just give their kids carte blanche, but then have really open and honest conversations about it. These are the kinds of things you might see. And so it's tough. I try to be somewhere in the middle. That's what I try to do.
I think that's good because that's all, I mean, I think any kind of extreme is usually not very good, right?
That's true.
So, but it'll be kind of fun when we're grandmothers, right? To see, like you were saying, avatars maybe, and what are those? You could maybe get, well, if you've been to Disney World, right?
Yeah.
Where you can go and you can sit there and they can take you around the world and you feel like, I don't know, what's that called? It's in, what's that part of Disney
Are
where,
you
oh,
talking
Epcot.
about
It was
Epcot?
in Epcot.
Yeah.
And so I started wondering if that's going to be able to come into our living rooms one day and we're not actually going to have to
Of
fly
course.
over
Yeah.
to Italy. We can have Italy in our
Yeah.
living room. I
No
mean,
doubt.
honestly,
No doubt.
I would love that.
Yeah.
But, nothing can really replace like the real thing. But you and I can say that, right? Because we would have done both, but our kids won't really know, our
They
grandchildren
may not.
especially will and may not know any differently, right?
Right.
So
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
it is. Yeah. I mean, it could be one of those things where I didn't really know I needed a big, huge TV screen until my husband gave me one. And then now I'm like, ooh, big, huge TV screen. But our grandchildren, they're not going to know. Like what's really going to France like? What's really going to Wisconsin Dells like? Because they're just going to do it in their living room,
I
right?
really hope
Perhaps.
that there's a little bit of a pushback on this and people start seeing that virtual isn't the way to do everything. Let's say you can never get there and you just want to have a taste of a different country, then I think that's great. But if you have the opportunity to go have a live experience, whether it's going out with your friends or taking a trip around the world, that's what I would do. I would
Oh, yeah, there's
always
nothing like
pick
a
the
road
live
trip,
experience. There's nothing
right?
like it. There's nothing like the actual experience that,
They don't know that they would know what it's like if they don't have it and they've never missed it.
That's right. They don't know what they're
So,
missing.
right. No, we'll be having this conversation in 20 years, trust me. And it'll be about this very thing, I think,
Because it's
So,
only growing.
Well, so if you, okay, so technology, are you glad we have it? Are you overall, it's a love hate, like marriage, like, or love dislike? What do you think? What's your overall take on technology?
My overall take is love it. Yeah, my overall take is love it, but I feel like people have to take personal responsibility to cultivate a healthy relationship with it. It's not the technology that's the problem. It's the way that people use the technology that's the
Yes,
problem. It's
exactly.
using it to excess and not doing other things. It's exactly what I'm saying. It's choosing to stay home and interact with your friends on through an Xbox game or watching a documentary when you could go to the place. It's wonderful and it makes my life easier. And I use a lot of AI in my business. I use a lot of technology in my business. And I'm so grateful that it's there. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I work on a balance. I probably have my phone too much. It's like sitting right here next to me.
I have mine too.
I make sure that there are times when I don't have it. And dinner time is really huge for me. Never, I like if somebody comes to the dinner table with a phone, get ready to just have me scream because I dislike that more than anything. So I try really hard to instill a balance in my kids, my adult ones. I can only do so much. But for me, yes, love it, but I do feel like you can only have so much of it and you have to pull yourself away from it. What about
I
you? What do you
agree.
think?
No, I agree. I see it very similar to our free will that we've been given and just since birth. And I feel like it's exactly the same way where you could get totally addicted to it. I don't know if I agree with sheltering of too much of it. Cause like you said earlier, you have to be able to turn things into teachable moments for children and have them learn how to balance, just like we adults, we have to learn how to balance our time, you know, with gotta and wanna, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think it's the same thing. I have the same exact feeling like in at work, I understand their security is super important. I mean, I certainly don't want somebody breaking into my computer and I don't know. It's not like I have anything to hide really, but you know, just the whole idea that it does protect us, but yet it does make life easier, but then it also has its frustrations as well. It's just like everything in life. I think it has good and it has bad.
Yeah.
I don't think I could go backwards, but we'll see if when I become a grandmother, maybe I won't care. You know,
yes, it's interesting. I see you probably do too. I mean, there's people who have no social media, right? Then there's people who never email. Then there's people who have no cell phone whatsoever. And then there's people who don't even have a computer, right? And somehow they figure it out. They live their lives okay. So I don't know that I would want to do that. I really like my different things, but I do work hard to just, not use them too much and also have life experiences, real life experiences that are away from all of it. But they're yet, Blair, I mean, do you know anybody that doesn't have a cell phone?
I do only because, as you know, I work in a medical office. And one of the wonderful things about technology from a medical office standpoint is that we can send registration. Remember the old packets of paper that you used to receive in the mail from the doctor's offices? Well, now you can send that through an email. I mean, email or a text.
Yep.
And we have found it to be incredibly simple compared to the old way. But we, sure enough, inevitably there's one or two people a month who we do have to have the paper or push it to our pad that we have there. And so, because they don't have the cell phone and I can respect that, you know, we're okay with it. They want the old fashioned way of doing things. They want a touch piece of paper, you know. So
now, have you noticed, is that an older population that's like that? Or is it, could it be a young person?
I mean, in general, we are very impressed with the amount of older senior citizens who are very savvy with their phones and their technology.
Wow.
And every once in a while, we'll get one or two who are not, and very, very, very seldom a young person. I would say probably not the young people at all.
Yeah,
it is generally the senior citizens. Yeah,
that makes sense.
So,
So thank God for technology, but it does have its drawbacks, I think is the bottom line. Yeah, for both of us.
Yes. And I think we are probably pretty fortunate that we enjoy it and like it. I know it definitely is a source of frustration for a lot of people because it can, like you might need your kid to come over and help you with something because it doesn't work. I mean, I had to have Andrew fix my microphone. I'm like, I didn't really understand. Now, could I have gone on YouTube to like listen to a little tutorial on how to use the microphone correctly? Of course I could have, but I don't know. I'm just not like ready to dive in 100% to it.
So. I just don't care enough. I have no problem saying, hey, kids, can you come help me with this?
Yeah.
You know, and they're perfectly willing to. So some of the things I don't want to learn and I'm okay with that. I know enough to get by.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, I have a feeling I think you're pretty savvy though, because you set up, you know, you've been able to set us up to do YouTube and things like that. And you
only
did a great job
of
getting.
You know what I mean? Like I only learn what I have to. only a part of that.
When it's relevant. When it's relevant, you're more happy to learn about it. That's a very simple way to put that. We want to learn things when they're relevant. Yeah.
Now I'm curious about, I have a question for you regarding technology. When we were young, they had water cooler shows and they were called water cooler shows because everybody would meet, and let's say it was a Thursday night show and everybody would meet around the water cooler at work and they would talk about what happened. And you would have to wait until the next Thursday to find out what happens next.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the new everybody's streaming? That's definitely a technology topic. Everybody's streaming. Or do you wish for those long for those days in the 70s and 80s when you'd have to wait a week to watch your show?
No way. I am the girl who will binge on something because I have no patience for waiting for the following week. Right now we're watching Survivor live And I can't stand waiting a week to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So I have my other shows in between that are streaming and that I can watch in between when I get bored. So no, I'm a fan of, what about you?
Yeah. I have to say that I have succumbed to the streaming on demand way of watching TV. We have way too many different programs that we watch TV on, like Disney and Hulu and, you know, all of them. So we also have Apple TV. Now, Apple TV puts their new programs out once a week. But then once the whole season is released, then it will sit there for a while. In fact, maybe forever. I don't know. But I refuse to watch something when it's coming out week by week. I will wait until the whole thing comes out. Like right now, there's something called, I think it's called Royal Palms. It's on Apple and I'm dying to watch it, but I'm not going to. There's like maybe 4 episodes out, but that would be so annoying to me to have to wait. So I'll wait until the whole thing is released so that I can see it in rapid succession.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that is one of the best things that has happened. Is
yeah, me too.
Watch things in rapid succession. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It changes the experience so that you're not having a collective experience, but I don't know. I'm just too impatient.
Yeah, but maybe back then, like you said, the water cooler people did talk more because it was, you know, you were predicting outcomes.
We're getting pulled further and further and further apart, and we're all having our little individual experience on these things, which is why we have to make time for connection. And this podcast is a beautiful way to do that because we're, even though we may not know you, we are connecting with you right now through this medium. It's like, yes, this is technology, but this is a way for you to just like take a break or let us be in your ears doing something with you. And we're connecting through this. You know, I bet that there were people listening, laughing, saying, I remember that telephone and I remember that experience. I remember the water cooler shows. So this is the way that we're connecting with each other. So making time for those real connections is super important.
And I am 100% sincere when I say that if any of our listeners have like a really cool topic that they'd like to come on and we could do like what we did with Sheridan and Ginger and send them a link and have them come on, if it would be something that they think would be fun to connect with you and I would be completely up for something like that. You know,
the more connection, the better. We want to connect with all of you. And Pam and I were just talking before we hit record and looking at all the downloads that we have. There's a ton of them. So there's a bunch of you listening and we would love to connect with you. We'd love to bring you on the podcast so that you can join us in person-ish, right? Yeah. Virtually in person. Yeah. And we can connect with you too. So definitely email us and let us know if you're interested.
And we know we're not famous. We know we're like nobody that you may think about.
We're just your average Joe, I would say, but your average Georgina.
Girls next door, right? Yeah, we're the girls next door who, instead of coming to coffee with us, we're having a chat in our cul-de-sac, you know?
That's right. That's what it's like. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So email us, pamkarenpod@gmail.com is our email. Email us if you would like to be part of the show. We would love to have you. And don't forget, my mom had to be different and spell my name with a Y. So Karen is K-A-R-Y-N.
Okay, Karen. Well, thanks for having a chat with me today. It's the wonderful ending to a wonderful day, or not so wonderful day. But you definitely
hope that you feel better, my friend. And I hope you can enjoy some of this gorgeous weather this week.
Well, same to you, Karen. Same to you. All right,
my dear. Chat soon.
Well, we'll see you next week then, okay?
All right. Bye for now.
Bye.
That wraps up another episode of the Missing Link Connection After 50. We're so grateful you joined us today for some stories, insights, and maybe even a few laughs.
It's been an absolute pleasure sharing this space with you. And remember, your journey through life after 50 doesn't have to be a solo trip. We're stronger when we share this journey together. Every story, every laugh, every tear, they all matter and they all connect us.
If you enjoyed today's episode, there's a couple of ways you can show your love for our show. Number one, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. Tap the plus button on your podcast player and tell us what you think. It helps others find our little slice of the podcast world so we can all feel connected during a time when disconnection is the norm.
5-star reviews are the best, let's face it. I promise it will put some good karma out into the world for you. And
And that brings me to number two. This whole podcast, it's all about connection, and we want to connect with you. Drop us an email with your thoughts, your comments, and even topics you'd like us to dive into for future episodes. Our email address is pamkarenpod@gmail.com. That's pamkarenpod@gmail.com. Your voice truly matters, and we can't wait to connect with you.
And don't forget to share our podcast with your fabulous over 50 gal pals. Together, let's build a community of vibrant women embracing and celebrating this fantastic phase in our lives.
Until next time, keep cherishing those second chapter moments, make some new memories, and never forget the power of connection. Stay radiant, stay wonderful, and most importantly, stay connected.
Chat later.